Today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. We're holding a Masechet Sanhedrin. And we are starting a new perek today, the fourth perek, Echad Dinei Momonot. Parek Dander Helek a perek. Echad Dinei Momonot ve Echad Dinei Nefashot bedrisha ve chakira. So as we're going to see from the Pasuk, we know that we have to be Doresh the Edim, as it says, v'dorashta v'chakarta hitev. And that din of drisha v'chakira just defines not only the specific details of what is essential, but also an attempt to define the area around the context of the event, which allows us to find more issues to test the veracity of the testimony, which is a separate issue. Those are actually mikar hadin, the same when it comes to dinei mamonot and when it comes to dinei nefashot, because it does say mishpat echad yelachem. Mishpat Echad seems to mean no matter what it is that you're being done, whether you're being done a capital case, you're being done a case of a penny, it's exactly the same halachas in terms of, says the Ran, in terms of specifically the elements of Drisha v'Chakira, and the way it is that you need to search for the truth. It doesn't mean that it needs to be the same in other issues, which is why the Mishnah immediately asks, so what indeed are the differences? If now we're asserting that Mishpat Echad Yelachem in terms of the search for the rightness of the Nachon is the word that the Torah uses in the Drisha v'Chakira. Emet Nachon Hadavar. So what then would be the differences that would not necessarily be Mishpat Echad? And we know, of course, until now, we've already seen, we use a different Beit Din, and we have a different Din of Roth, and we have a different Din of Ticha. We have a din of the Tzilu Heida. So it's obvious that there are differences and that Mishpat Echad cannot possibly mean across the board it's entirely the same. So tell me then, what are the differences between Dinei Mamonot and Dinei Nefashot? Well, first of all, Dinei Mamonot is Bishlosha and Dinei Nefashot is Besrim Bishlosha. As we learned out back in the first parak, we have bases in the Psukim for defining the size, the minimal size of the Beit Din that is necessary for the two dinim. So the dinim mamonot is with 3, dinim nefashos is with a minimum of 23. Furthermore, dinim mamonot potchim bein lezechut bein lechovah, we have really no concerns about the psychological opening of the din, whereas when it comes to dinim nefashot, we begin searching for zechut. So we insert a certain psychological hope, optimism, in terms of searching for a reason that the defendant should not be chayev. What precisely that means, the Gemara will discuss. Ve'in potchin lechovan, we are careful to avoid opening the proceedings with any sense that this will indeed terminate in the termination. Dinei mamonot matino pi echad bein lezechut bein lechovah. The majority rules when it comes to dinei mamonot in any direction, and we'll have to think about what it would mean, bein lezechut bein lechovah, since it's always, if it's mamonot, you would think, if it's zechut for one, it's chovah for the other, by definition. So what would that mean? Dinei nefashot matina pe echad lezechut. One dayan is sufficient, as a majority, to make the defendant innocent. But al pishnayim lechovah. When it comes, however, to finding him guilty, you need a majority of 2, which essentially means a majority of 3. Since there's no way to split a Beit Din that's unequal with a majority of 2, other than, as we said earlier, if you hold that a Beit Din can be Shivim, and we were most if Dayanim at Shivim, which was a machlokes, whether we can have a Beit Din Shakul or not. Furthermore, another difference would be that Dinei Mamonot Machazirin Bein Nezachut Bein Nechovah, that we will be Soter the Din if we discovered that there was an error. And it doesn't matter whether the result of such a thing will be to the benefit or to the unfortunate misery of the defendant, we will nonetheless reopen the case. But when it comes to dinei nefashot, machzirin lezechut, to find him innocent, we will certainly reopen the case. But if new evidence comes to light, or we think we made a mistake, we will not reopen the case lechovah. In machzirin lechovah. A further difference would be that in dinei mamonot hakol melamdim zechut v'chovah. When it comes to dinei mamonot, then we have, as we know, the rows of the Talmidim that sit in front of the Dayanim that have not here been appointed to any kind of position on the actual court. Nonetheless, the Talmidim have permission to make a comment with the permission of the court, and they can be melamed both zechut v'chova. Whereas when it comes to the nefashot, the floor is open only for limud zechut. Hakol melamdim zechut. However, ein hakol melamdim chova. You cannot be accepted, speak in front of the court to decide why he should be found guilty. All of this, of course, we learn from the pasuk of the Yitzilu. Further difference would be, in the course of the diyun, as we saw earlier, it's very possible that people will change their mind and indeed be converted to the complete other side and now begin to explain why their original opinion was wrong. And I initially thought he should be found innocent, and now I believe he should be found guilty. They're going to argue that point. But where it comes to dinei nefashot, ha-melamed chova, melamed zechut, you can find yourself converted to finding him innocent and argue that. Aval ha-melamed zechut, if you began with an argument for why he should be found innocent, you cannot change your argument, being persuaded now that he's really guilty. You have to continue until, of course, the psak comes here. You need to give in your vote, as you honestly believe at that point. But in the masa umatan stage, having once seen a tzad lezechut, we force you to gnaw on it and to find every last possible tam within it, because we don't believe that that first blink response that you had, which was an intuitive sense that he's innocent, did not have roots that could be intellectually ferreted out. And if we force you to stick to that opinion, then we believe that you will find yourself looking into why you originally saw it that way, and you will do an effective job of arguing whatever was in there that led you initially, and maybe you'll persuade other people, in the end be persuaded yourself. That's part of Yitzhak. If in the end, unfortunately, the other side wins, so then obviously you'll have to cast your vote lechovah. Another difference would be is that dinei mamonot, you can be dan bayom, and you can be gomer balayla. So as long as you do the din, you open it in the day, in the masav and matan, it was during the day, you can, if you wish, be gomer the din right now and say, okay, we have found you guilty, or we have found you chayav, and here's what it is that you'll have to pay, and so on. But when it comes to dinena fashot, you can't do that, because the din needs to be biyom, and the gemarni din needs to be biyom, and therefore, there's no way to be mechayev someone at night. Not only that, dinei mamonot gomrim bo bayom. You can, at dinei mamonot, you can be gomer on the same day that you began, whether it's lezechut or whether it's lechova. Whereas dinei nefashot, you can only be gomer bo bayom if you're going to dismiss the charges. So then, absolutely, lezechut, you can finish the din today, and that's the end of it. But if you are going to find him now guilty, then you cannot paskin that he's guilty on the same day, because you must sleep over it to give it a chance to work itself out to the opposite, to innocence. So you can only finish biyom shel acharav lechova. And because of that, since you're going to need the overnight time, therefore, lefichach ein danin lo be'erev Shabbat, lo be'erev Yom Tov, because you cannot be gomer the din on Shabbat or Yom Tov, because we never have a halacha of being gomer a din and not carrying it out. We consider that to be inui hadin, and it's an impossible situation where somebody is chayev mita and is left there to languish on death row for the next 20 years thinking about it. And therefore, the din has to be carried out instantly. Since, as we know, we cannot carry out a din on Shabbos Yontif, because it's not Doha Shabbos Yontif, as we'll see. So because of that, we will never begin a case that may result in a capital chiyuv on an Erev Shabbat, because we can't finish it on an Erev Shabbat, because you need, by definition, to wait overnight, and then you won't be able to finish the din on Shabbat, and therefore we don't start. Dinei mamonot, hatumeyot, vataharot. When it comes to anything that we don't have any concern, one way or the other, there's no prejudice in what we would like to find. So if somebody's asking whether something is tahor or tamei, all of those kind of dinim, straight out halachic questions, monetary questions, we start from the kavod of the gadol. So he speaks first, and we're not concerned that maybe others will be swayed by the fact that he's the gadol. they don't want to argue on him, and they become persuaded because of his stature. But when it comes to dinei nefashot, it's matchilin min hatzad. You always start min hakatan. Furthermore, hakol kisherim ladun dinei mamonot. We don't have a din of psul yichus when it comes to dinei mamonot. But when it comes to dinei nefashot, in hakol kisherim ladun dinei nefashot. So let's say a mamzer wouldn't be kosher. Only kohanim, leviim, and Yisraelim who are from mishpachot eremiyuchasot, who themselves can be masi'in lekuna, that their daughters would be ra'ui without any chashash of being posel to marry kohanim. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah does not seem to make any sense if you look at the actual practice. It's obviously not true. Well, how can you say that the name Mamonot required Risha v'chakira and bring a pasuk to tell me that that's the case, if we know for a fact that that's not the case? Mi bein and Risha v'chakira. I mean, Veramino, let's take the most obvious case, which is so blatant that there cannot be a din of drisha v'chakira. When we say there cannot be a din of drisha v'chakira, it means that the results of a drisha v'chakira wouldn't be important anyway to determine hakchashat ha'edim. Because the whole idea of drisha v'chakira is that if we have the absolutely requisite information, we know where something took place, when it took place, and what precisely took place, forget about the context. So then we're able to isolate. If somebody comes along and says, well, you couldn't have possibly seen that because you weren't there at that particular time, in that particular place, and so on. So we're able to be makrish, the Edom of Mimazim, the Edom, and here we know for a fact that if we take a shtar, which represents Edut, and it turns out that it's written on a particular day, now we already know where we're going here. We know that a shtar doesn't have to have a date on it that represents the date Maisa took place on. It represents the date that it was written on to create the Shi'ibud. We know that already. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to ask, well, we know that from a Mishnah in Shviyas. So why do we have to start looking around now for the following Braita? That we're going to ask. But, I mean, here is an obvious indication of something that we know very well. V'raminu. Shtar. Shizmano katu biachad b'nisan b'shmita. See, we have a shtar. So the date on the shtar is the first of Nisan, remarkably. I think as that is today. And it was in the Shemitah year, Ubo Edim V'amru. Now, Edim come along and say, this shtar is obviously a lie. Hechatim me'idim al shtar zeh, v'ayob alo v'yom ploni imonu hayitem b'mokom ploni. You weren't even there on that day. You were somewhere else on that day, which, of course, is the classic nusach of Ahazama, so that these ought to be Edim Zomimim. Nonetheless, the halacha is that not only is the star kosher, the Edim are kosher, there's no problem. The star is kosher, the Edim are kosherim. Chayshinan Shema Icharu, by the way, the word Chayshinan is often used in the Gemara as the way in which we can explain something positively. People are used to chashash being a problem. Chashash is not a problem, necessarily. It means that this is the alternative, which is certainly a possibility. That's all that it means. So, chashinan shema icharu v'katvu. I mean, what would be wrong if they wrote the wrong date and everyone was agreed that the shi'ibud on the karka should only begin from a later date? So, why would there be anything wrong with that shtar? Now, what do you mean, why would there be anything wrong with that shtar? According to our Mishnah, that shtar violates the most primary din of Edut. You can't be doresh v'choker. Because it doesn't matter. You could give a different... Well, it took place on the first day of Nisan. No, it didn't. Well, I'm just saying it took place on the first day of Nisan. I don't really mean it took place on the first day of Nisan. Now, obviously, that's the most antithetical to Drisha v'Chakira stance that you could possibly take. It's hilarious in context of the Mishnah. So, Yisalka Daitach be'inan Drisha v'Chakira. What is that supposed to mean? Chashinan Shema Ichru v'Kitvu. That's crazy. Hechi Chashinan Shema Ichru v'Kitvu, since that, in and of itself, would have destroyed the value of the testimony. They cannot be amid the drisha v'chakira. The very chashash means, okay, so the edim are no good because the edus is no good because it wasn't amid keneged the drisha v'chakira. You're saying, no, there's no problem. The shtar is kosher. What do you mean? The drisha v'chakira proved that the shtar is not kosher. Well, you don't need drisha v'chakira. So then why does the Mishnah say from the pasuk that you do need drisha v'chakira? Says, well, wait, hold on a second. That is a weird place to ask this question from. It's a fairish a Mishnah. For the ta'amech, this is what bothers you? That we have a right to be ma'acher a shtarchov? Why didn't you ask from the fairish a Mishnah in Shvi'it? Shtarechov ha-mugdamim, me-pesulim, va-mu'ucharim, kisherim? That's like the kalal. If you write a shtar with a date that is predated, that's a problem, because then you are going to create a shibud on a sadeh, which is illegal. The shibud did not exist on that day. Somebody can use this shtar to be motzi mamon. Masha inking, if the lender is willing, and he says, when the buyer says to him, you know, I really don't want to date this loan today because I'm going to be making a sale of a field that's closing tomorrow, and I don't want the shibud to be chal on that field for you to be able to take it away from that guy, which is going to cause me immense embarrassment. I have plenty of other fields for you to collect from, so if you don't mind. And the guy says, oh, I don't mind. So date it a week later. So then that would be fine. It's not costing anyone anybody. The only person who's losing is the lender, and he said he doesn't mind. So therefore, it's kosher. How could you possibly be machshir shtar, which contains testimony that cannot be a made bedrisha v'chakira? It's the contradiction, the ultimate contradiction to drisha v'chakira, to walk in and say the wrong date. So then how could it be kosher? So why did you ask from the braita? I don't understand what you're thinking. That doesn't bother. That really shouldn't bother you, because the braita contained even an additional point. So we always do that. If we can bring yet a stronger raya and it has another element, we'll bring it. It's not that we are asking something innately different than the Mishnah. We wanted to ask even better point. If you'll take a look at this braita, do I really need to know that it was a Chad ben Nissan b'Shemitah? Well, who cares if it's b'Shemitah? It's not b'Shemitah. I mean, obviously the Brach is trying to tell you something. So what is it adding? It's adding that even though it's Shemitah, so when a guy has a contract that is written in Shemitah, he's pretty nervous about this contract, because the first thing that people say when he brings in the Shemitah, why in the world would any idiot have lent money during Shemitah, which is going to now be canceling the loan? That's very weird. We're going to look into this contract, because it sure seems to be a strange event. So therefore, it's coming to tell me, dafilu echad b'nisan b'shmitah, where b'chalal, it's lo shkeche inish demusfi, it's rare that somebody's going to give out a loan during Shemitah itself. And it's certainly very strange to say that the guy would be ma'acharet during Shemitah, which makes it even more vulnerable as a shtar. So it's not only is the court going to say, Shemitah, that's strange. Wonder if this is a forgery. Let's take a look at that Echad ben Nisan. These guys weren't even around back then. This guy's feeling, my God, this shtar looks like a piece of garbage. So you'd think that, well, what are we going to say? Chayshina Chemei Yichru during Shemitah? No, he's going to even make his shtar look more worthless. So therefore, like a lamema, I wouldn't say in such a case, Shema Yichruhu v'kitvu, because he's going to be careful. The lomare l'shtari, he doesn't want to make his shtar look any worse than it already looks. Afilu hachi. Nonetheless, that doesn't bother us, and we're willing to take even this rather more far-fetched chashash, that since there's no problem and it can be done, why not say that it's okay? I mean, can you imagine a more clear-cut violation of drisha v'chakira? So that's the point, that we don't even need to find a good basis for a chashash, a weak basis. So what you're saying is that it's not a problem. That's what you're saying. Now that is astounding. If you need to be aimed for drisha v'chakira, and we don't really need to worry about drisha v'chakira, I don't understand how this fits with the Mishnah. So that is why I asked from here that nonetheless, afilu achi, since the bottom line is when I wrote the shtar, shvi'it is not going to be mishamet, shvi'it is only mishametet b'sofah, at the end of the year. So what's your problem? It's unlikely. So it's unlikely. Is there a legal problem or not a legal problem? Can you show that there's anything wrong with my shtar? No. Thank you very much. Please collect my money for me. That's all. So that means that we don't even have any interest in drisha v'chakira whatsoever. That's why I use the braita. Obviously, the yisod ha'davar from the Mishnah in Shemitah is also true. So afilu hachi, given the shvi'it sofa mishametet, we still makshirin. Okay, that's why I asked from there. Okay, fine. Good. So now you ask from there, but can you? What's the answer? You've gotten so involved in the details, we forgot we're sitting here in front of a crazy question. You're right. So mikom akom kasha, whatever it is, whether it's the Mishnah, it's the Bride, I don't care. What's the answer? Amar Rabbi Chanina, the answer is that Devar Torah, what the Mishnah is talking about, is the Iker Din Midioraita. There should be no difference. Echad Dinei Mamonot. It all requires Rishavacha, as it says in the Pasuk. Mishpat Echad Yalacha. Now, why indeed? Matam Amru, Dinei Mamonot, Lo Beinan Rishavacha Kiras. So why then does it make it very clear in this Braita, and of course in the later Mishnah, in Masechet Shemitah, that there is such a halacha? Because the Rabbanan made a takana. Our Mishnah is talking about the Yesod HaDavar. Yesod HaDavar, Midyoraita, there's no difference. Can you imagine a marketplace in which we really need to do Drishava Chakira on Edim, which will make it impossible? I mean, the way we do Drishava Chakira, it can theoretically, with a good lawyer, so to speak, make it impossible to ever collect your money. I mean, all you need to do is get enough into the details for the witnesses to break down at some point, which is irrelevant to the case. And nonetheless, we said, well, look, these people are insufficiently aware of what was going on. Somebody said he was wearing a checkered jacket at the time, and the other guy said it was a striped jacket, so forget it. Oh, come on, man. I'm not going to lend money with these kind of judgments. So therefore, in order, a concern that we've seen again and again throughout Nizikin, that the Chachomim were very, very interested in maintaining the free flow of capital. So therefore, we made it easier to collect with Adim that as long as they have the salient details of the event, that's all that's important. Wait, if that's all that's important, Elameata, if that's the importance, is to look at how easy it will be, then Ta'u lo yishamu. I mean, there's two very different approaches to this. So some of the Rishonim learn, and we'll see this later on in the Tosfos, that the question here is a direct tie to what we just said. If the problem is shalot yinol delet bifnei lovin, then would it not be easier to collect money if we didn't have a backup in the courts? One way not to get a backup in the courts is to allow more people to be willing to take up a position in the court, which would mean that we should tell them, look, you know what, when it comes to Dinei Mamonot, if you make a mistake, then we're not going to take it out of your hide. So then people, okay, fine, then I'm willing to appear as a Dayan, but I can't be a Dayan if I'm going to end up paying. Rashi's approach is that what we should do is, if we're taking away the din d'oraita, then the dayanim should say, you did not give us the tools to determine sufficiently whether this was correctly judged. Had we been able to use the tools that the Torah offers us, and we misused them, then you could say we pay. But when you don't give us the tools, then you can't tell us that we should pay. So why don't we let them off as part of our takana from the chiyuv of tashlumin? Answers the Gemara, because if you do that, that would undo the whole thing. Either because, I mean, if the Dayanim are not going to take full responsibility, the way Tosfos is learning later, the Dayanim are not going to take full responsibility, and we're going to have jury systems or something like that, who would lend money? Because yeah, there's never any justice of some idiot up there who doesn't have to, it's not him on the line. Or the other shot would be, if Lamaisa, the way Rashi is learning, the way that Beit Din, even if it made a mistake, would not be responsible to make up the mistake, I'm far less likely, believing that justice may not be done, I'm far less likely to lend money. So either way, it's certainly going to be Noel Delet Bifnei Lovin. According to Tosfos, the flow is much better because the assertion is Shalotino. The question is, if that's the concern, why not make this a Shalotino? And the answer is, well, no, on the contrary, that will be Noel. According to Rashi, we introduce another issue, which is, well, doesn't that takana lead to a reason to let off Dayanim? And then you say, well, we can't let off Dayanim, but then what is it, Kol Shekein? So it's, it's sort of, well, tough on the Dayanim, because then it would really be a problem with Lotino Del. Okay, two different approaches. Rava says, no, that's not the issue. The truth is that there are indeed cases where you do have Drisha B'chakira, and the Mishnah is not talking about a different time, the Yesod HaDavar, where things were still D'oraita, as opposed to the Braita, the other Mishnah in Shemitah, which was talking about the Din D'Rabbanan. It's all talking about after the same time the Takana D'Rabbanan exists. But our Mishnah, which says that there is a din of Drishava Chakira, is talking about Dinei Kinasot. Dinei Kinasot, of course, there would be no issue of Tino Delet Bifnei Lovin. There's two completely different aspects to Dinei Mamonot. One of them is fines, which are really part of the dinim, not of civil law as much as criminal law. So that even though it gets into somebody stole money for you and so on, it's possible it would be chayev kefel, dalet vehe, but that certainly has nothing to do with tino dalet b'shnei lovin. These are criminal penalties. Criminal penalties, we have no concern. People won't lend money if we make criminal penalties more difficult. Why is that? So when it comes to hoda'ot v'halva'ot, the Ida, so the Mishnah in Shvi'id, the Braita was talking about hoda'ot v'halva'ot, where I need to be able to get my money back. If you're going to tell me that a guy is mode or something that I'm not going to be able to collect, or if I have a contract I'm not going to be able to collect, because they're going to say you weren't there, I mean, forget it. I'm not lending money. So there, Inechinami says the bright, that's not a problem. But when it comes to straight-out court case about Inechinasot, why would there be a difference? It says, Mishpat Echad, which means we have the same concern for the veracity of the testimony when it comes to the name of Manot, as we do in the name of Fashot, and there would be no way that the Torah would be makel in terms of the data. It may be makel in terms of the proceeding. It may be makel in terms of how many dayanim you need. It may be makel in terms of demanding that you have a more intense attempt that you make to find somebody innocent and so on, but it certainly doesn't change the data. So it's only the chachomim that could possibly make a takana to allow lower standards in order to allow a more easily moving market, which takes into consideration on all sides, both the man who's going to be paying and the man who's going to be collecting. The man who's going to be paying obviously wants a market where he can borrow money, and he's willing, recognizing that borrowing money involves a certain amount of risk. If you don't keep your receipts properly, you don't keep your head on straight, and so on, you can get into trouble. Fine, I certainly don't want to cancel my ability to have free access to capital because of the fact that some fools may end up paying where they shouldn't be paying. That's life. Sucker born every day. Don't be a sucker. So this, again, is the whole idea of balancing out the needs of society. Papa Amar. But Papa says, I say, I agree with Rava that it does not make sense to take our mission as being some type of abstract Yisod HaDover before the actual takanas were made for the Tikkun HaShok. But I say that the mission could even be referring to Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot. And in fact, there are times where even on a Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot B'Zman HaZeh after the takana, that you could still use Drisha V'Chakira when it comes to Mamonot. And that is where you have suspicions. And where the judge has a suspicion, he can use Drisha V'Chakira, and the defense lawyer cannot say, now wait a minute, that's irrelevant, whether he was wearing a striped coat or not. The judge could say, it's not irrelevant to me. I want to cross-examine the witness with that question. Find out whether they contradict each other. One is a din merumah, as Tosis points out, obviously, it doesn't mean literally a din merumah. We'll see later on that a din merumah is where it's clear that the evidence that's being presented is really phony. And there I'm not even supposed to get into the din. Because midvar sheker tirchak means just it's absolutely refuse to accept the case in court. Here it's talking about where I have suspicions. Where I have suspicions, I can go after the edim using the tools that the Torah provides for me. And therefore, the Mishnah is pointing out, look, Mikra Din, you can be Dorish V'choker, even the Edim of Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot. And Kan B'din, She'eino Merumah. And the other one, the Bright is talking about, a Din that doesn't raise any suspicions. And over there, Chazal said, well, if it doesn't raise any suspicions, don't bother doing the Drish V'chakir B'Momonot. And that's Kedar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish points out that there's a basis for two completely different behaviors when it comes to the way a dayan is supposed to look at it. On the one hand, the Torah says, B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. And on the other hand, it says, tzedek tzedek tirdof. Now, is it b'tzedek or is it tzedek tzedek? I mean, tzedek tzedek sounds like you're supposed to really dig into it. Don't be satisfied with the appearances of justice. Make certain that you get under the surface. Now, am I allowed to just do tzedek tishpot? Okay, so kan b'din merumah, v'kan b'din she'en merumah. He points out that that's the whole idea in the Torah. The Torah is telling you that you need not to accept it just because, well, okay, everything legally adds up. What do you mean legally adds up? If you are detecting something that you may not be able to prove legally, then search for tzedek tzedek and try using tools to uncover what you feel is suspicious. And don't take the easy way out by saying, look, legally it all adds up, and they crossed all their T's, dotted all their I's, and so go after it. That's what it's coming to tell me. If that's the case, clearly the Mishnah, the contradiction in the Mishnah is between Sanhedrin and Shvi'is, is easily explained. One is tzedek, and one is tzedek tzedek. So over here in Sanhedrin, we're talking about tzedek tzedek. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, look, matnitin, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, you can explain the Mishnah any way you like, or any of these approaches. I'm not coming to be machria which teretz you should take about how to look at the Mishnah. And that's for sure. That works out fine. I don't believe that the pasuk that Rish Lakish is explaining between tzedek and tzedek tzedek is really addressing a din merumah or not. That I don't think. I believe that the psukim need to be nidrash in another way, and that I have arrived from a brayta. The pasuk, one of which stresses betzedek tishpot, the other says tzedek tzedek tirdof. You'll notice that obviously redifa means to be rodev. It means you keep, it's like you're obsessed if you're a rodev, as opposed to simple mishpat. I say that there's two different issues over here. Echad ledin, v'echad lipshara. That one of them is talking about the concept of din. And that means that the Torah is telling me that what you can do is you can take a look, not in terms of drisha v'chakira. It means make sure that the din is tzedek and go out if you can to make justice work on all sides. And don't now look to try to be mechayev one more than the other. Look for a pshara. So tzedek would be on both sides. Be matzdik, the pshara itself, so that nobody gets more hit than the other one does. Everything should be balanced in your arbitration. And when I say that, what do I mean? Well, balance would be like this. Ketzer. You've got two ships that need to pass through the same straits, or the same Suez Canal. And now, there's no way that you could fit both ships through the straits at the same time, or the same lock at the same time. Imov rochteham, then both of them are going to be wrecked. Shteham tovot. If one of them is put off, then Bezach Hazeshtehen overwrote. You can have the same thing in very cheap ways. It doesn't have to be talking about $100,000 a day rental. You could have two camels, and they're coming up in Ma'alot Beit Choron, Upaguze Bezeh, and they meet one another coming in opposite directions, and there's no way to park, no way to pass. If they try to pass, somebody's going to fall off the edge. All right, so Im Alut Shneihem, Shneihem Noflim. But if Bezach Hazeshtehen, one of them backs up, until you get to a place where there's room to pass by. So what do you do in such a case? Tzedek, tzedek, tzedek. Where's the balance? I mean, how can we decide for one against the other? So they both run into court. They say, listen, we got here at the same time. I need to pass first. I need to pass for everybody's got his life, you know. So our case said, what would be tzedek in such a case? Well, if you got one ship that's already loaded down, paying insurance, got goods that can be rotted, is going to make it late to market, and so on and so forth, their losses are clearly going to be greater than the other ones. It's more difficult to move the ship and so on. So, you've got, wait a minute, let's hold on. Krova v'sheina krova. We got one that's about to pull into port and the delay is not going to be disastrous. The other one got a long journey ahead of it. V'sheina krova. Tidakha krova v'sheina rechova. Krova. But suppose you don't have anything that evidently makes it more fair. It's like fairness. So both of them are equidistant. Both of them are krovot and rechokot. They're both loaded the same way. So then arbitrate what it's worth. Okay, who's willing to pay the loss for the other guy to go ahead? Pay half the loss and then move. One of you, you're both losing. Okay, so for one of you, you're willing to cover half of the other guy's losses. Okay, so we'll arbitrate between you. And therefore, there should be ma'alot sachar zulazu. So always look to finding a reasonable compromise where nobody feels that you've taken something, picked it out of a hat. Tom Rabban, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, according to this bright, that means yet another thing. It means chase after justice. Don't just look for some level of justice. If you've got a case, then halech achar beitin yafeh. You know what? You want to find out the absolute justice. So don't just go to court. Go to the court. Go to Rabbi Eliezer's court in Lud. Go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's court in Bor Chaim. Tana, kol rechaim. Buburni, Shavua ben Shavua ben. Oraner biboror chayil, Mishtesha, Mishtesha. During the years of the persecutions of the Romans, they assured having a Brit Milah, or the dinim of Simchas Chatan Vikala, or they were dangerous to the Kala. So what they did was, is they set up, this is Rashi's approach, they set up a system whereby they would be merame to the information without openly announcing it. So therefore, once we've mentioned Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Beror Chayil, we want to tell you that it happens to be that the minhag over there was that where you had a Or HaNer, obviously not a typical Or HaNer at night, but rather Or HaNer in the day, or if it was a lot of Or HaNer at night, it was announcing the fact that there was a Mishteh. The Shavua Ben is referring to a Brit Milah, according to Rashi. And they had been Gozer Keneged Mila. So if you heard the sound of the grinder, which was the creation, the simin was that we're grinding now the samamanim. So this is the apothecary who's grinding now the medication for the child for the Brit Milah, that became now already a simin for Brit Milah. Tosfos points out that it's difficult to believe that because in the pasuk that we always talk about, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, it's kol rechayim v'or haner. So kol rechayim v'or haner. Apparently kol rechayim v'or haner are part of the typical way in which we were machriz on a simcha. I mean, I can't be the rechayim v'or haner. Here is unrelated to the navi's kol simcha v'kol sason v'kol simcha. So therefore, Tosfos says that this was always a simin l'shem simcha. Maybe afterwards it became all that was left of the simonim after the Romans made problems, but he doesn't believe that it was a takona specifically for that purpose. Tana Rabbana, there's another brayta that supports that approach of tzedek tirdof. Halecha charka chamim li yeshiva. Find the place where you're going to have the most masao matan, the Beit Havad, the place where Beit Din is kavua, and therefore Talmidim come from all over the country and all over the world to get shimush sitting in front of Sanhedrin. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to break open the case in ways that you won't have in your local court, and therefore go to Rabbi Eliezer Lalud, go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, to Beror Chaya, go to Rabbi Yeshua in Pekin, go to Rabbi Gamliel in Yavne, you can even go to Bnei Brak as long as Rabbi Akiva is there. And find, go after, if you're in the Gola, go to Rome, to Rabbi Matya. Go to Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion at Sichni. Go to Rabbi Yossi in Sipori. Go to Rabbi Yudah ben Matera, if you're in that area, to Netzivim. And go to Rabbi Yoshua in the Gola. This, the Gra changes the stacher. Hanina ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua, who was the one in charge of the Gola, which was Pumbedita, because that was the Iker, we call Pumbedita the Gola, just like we do by the lighting the fires. For Rosh Chodesh, it says, Yisrach, Kol HaGola alight. Kol HaGola referred to Pumbedita, which would be the Iker Yeshiva of Bavel. So go there to the Gola, meaning to Pumbedita. Go after Rebbe in Beit Sha'arim, and follow the Chachamim to the Lishkat HaGaz.
His opinion that Rome is near Tzvarim, it's in the Galilos.
You say, Potchin Lezechut. What does that mean, Potchin Lezechut? How can you be sure you're Potchin Lezechut? What do you say exactly? Eichi Amrin, and how do you make it imply that you're going to find the guy to be innocent? What do you say? Amrin, we tell the Edim. Eichi Amrin, Elohu. Mi Yemer Kedi Amritu. Why should we think that you're telling the truth, you witnesses? I'm like, Ula, what? How can you say that to the witnesses? I mean, then you're shutting them up? Does the Gemara, well, what's bad about that? I mean, doesn't it say in the Brayta that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer that in capital cases, you artificially drag them around through a bureaucracy. Okay, we're going to go into the witness interrogation room, room 17. We'll see you there. And come to room 17, they find a notice on the door. We've changed it to room 23 in the other building. They come. And we do this. Yeah, and we drive them up to the Kadeshi Titarev that Tanviyak Zerubahem so that they should finally just give up. So, I mean, we don't mind the Edim giving up in a capital case because we'd rather find the guy innocent. Nah, come on, I mean, but that's not the same thing. Over there, it's up to them to give up, but we're not indicating in our words that there's something wrong with their testimony. It doesn't make sense. Now, there's an interesting Rashi over here. The Rashi learns that it's talking about that we were already mikabel the edut, and now we're beginning to discuss the issues. Before we discuss the issues, we say, very suspicious. Why should we think that you guys are telling the truth? And therefore, the problem would be that maybe there'll be chayzer. So then the question is, if that's the case, isn't there a loch of kivin shiyigit, shuveno chazero magid? So what's the difference? They already said their testimony. So what do you mean chasmin and loch? Therefore, so he says maybe it would be betoch kedei dibor, which doesn't mean betoch kedei dibor. By the time we tell them, miyamrina, it's the way it is, it's lacher kedei dibor. Tosu says that it's not talking about where we've already accepted the edu. Talking about that before we do the drisha v'chakira of the edut, where in that case they are able to actually be mitcharet. So when we say that kivon shegiyah truma nechozer u'magid, it's only after they were emed in all of the drisha v'chakira. If during a drisha v'chakira process they say we give up, it was a lie. So then obviously, because that's the point of the drisha v'chakira, no? To find out if they're liars. If we discourage them and they're beginning to feel that it's getting out of hand, they can't maintain a lie, and now they say, well, we were lying. I mean, so then that's a drisha v'chakira. So therefore, it makes no sense that would be what we do. Elo amar ulachi amrinim. What we say is, to the other guy, to the defendant, Yesh Chaydim La'azimam, can you show that these witnesses are false witnesses? So that makes him feel good. The court is trying to figure out that there shouldn't be makabel this testimony. Omer Le Rabba, now wait a minute. V'chi potrim b'zchuto shel zeh, shi chovato shel zeh? What is that supposed to mean? If we find out that they are Edim Zeimimim, so then we'll kill them. So we're supposed to make this guy feel really good by saying, you have any way we could shoot your Edim? The Edom against you. How would we do that? Says the Gemara, well, I mean, it's not really chovato shel zeh. I mean, even if we would find out that there were Edom zomimim would only be chayev after the Gemara din. I mean, here we haven't even gotten to the Gemara din. So it's not as if we're saying anything's going to happen to the witnesses. So mi avi chovato. But it's not Edom zomimim neharagin achi gamer adin. It's not, come on, I don't mean literally that we're going to shoot the Edom. I mean, I just mean the whole thing is just, it's so outrageous. Because what we're saying is a statement, which, okay, I mean, what I'm saying is, if these Edim, now these Zomimim, would be Shatik, the Mezimim, and they would wait ad migmar dinei, and then he would bring those Edim, then would it not be chovato shel zeh? I mean, you're opening the door to saying, you know, well, can we show that they're liars and maybe manipulate things? We can shoot them. I mean, that's what they're hearing in their minds. How inappropriate is that? Elo amar Rabba, you don't talk about Zomimim. You can say, Amrinan le yeshcha edim lahakhishan. You have witnesses that can show that they have a different story. I mean, that's typical. Yeah, therefore we won't accept them. So they'll say, well, no, actually, this guy wasn't even dead on that day. We saw him in a bar at that time. And whatever. Rivkana Omar. Rivkana says, we don't even need to do that. The p'ticha l'schut is simply to give the guy hope and to make sure that he's able to argue his own point of view and why he's innocent. So what we say is, well, it would certainly appear from what you guys have just testified that we're going to have to find this man innocent. Meaning that he should feel that there's, you know, this testimony's got a lot of holes in it. So what we say is, well, there goes that. I mean, we're going to have to say he's innocent. Abayev, Rava Damrit Avayu, Amrinan Lay. It has nothing to do with any. It's not that we artificially create a situation where the guy can think he's going to get off. The din of Pticha L'Zchut is for the man to feel that if he's innocent, that justice will be done, and he will be found innocent. Amrinan Lay. Now, I'm going to show you this from the Torah. What we say to him is, you have nothing to fear. If you didn't kill anybody, you have nothing to fear. We don't find innocent people guilty around here. Rav Ashi Omar, we even say, as if we're searching for people who may have arguments in the favor. But Lamaisa, the Pasek, as we see in Abraita, is actually Merames to the din of Abaye Verava. Tanikavati Abaye Verava, Rebbe Omer, take a look what we say to the Sota. We say to the Sota, so she has to take this, the Shvua of the Allah, and we say to the woman that, Im lo shachav ishotach, v'im lo satit tumatach atishech, Now, I mean, what is that there for? Why do we say that and only subsequently say, but at kisatit, then may this water come into you and blow you apart? And so this is what the Mishnah is referring to when it talks about p'ticha l'schut. We're telling her, look, you have nothing to fear. We're not interested in finding innocent parties guilty. And this is not magic that there's something poisonous in this water. So mikan shepotchim b'dinei nefashot chila l'zechut. If this is the mikar for the p'ticha l'schut, that the Torah was potachat b'schut of the sota, so then it means it in the same way, doesn't it? Okay, so then that definition of p'ticha l'schut, according to this braita, is, if you're innocent, you have nothing to fear. Therefore, what Abaye Verava said is the expression of Mishnah, ties in beautifully to the makor of the Mishnah that the Braita is giving us.
So
Kadine mamanot ve kadine nefashot bedrisha ve hakira shenemar mishpat kadi elache. Ma ben dine mamanot ve dine nefashot. Dine mamanot shlosha ve dine nefashot besrim shlosha. Dine mamanot potchim ben lezechut ben lechova. Dine nefashot potchim lezechut ve in potchim lechova. Dine mamanot matina pi echad ben lezechut ben lechova. ודיני נפשות מתינה פי אחד לזכות ועל פי שניים לחובה. דיני ממונות מחזירים בין לזכות בין לחובה. דיני נפשות מחזירים לזכות ואין מחזירים לחובה. דיני ממונות הכל מלמדים זכות וחובה. דיני נפשות הכל מלמדים זכות ואין הכל מלמדים חובה. דיני ממונות המלמד חובה מלמד זכות והמלמד זכות מלמד חובה. דיני נפשות, המלמד חובה מלמד זכות, אבל המלמד זכות, אין לי חובה לחזור וללמד חובה. דיני ממונות דנים ביום וגומרים ביום, דיני נפשות, בלילה, דיני נפשות דנים ביום וגומרים ביום. דיני ממונות גומרים בו ביום, בין לזכות בין לחובה. דיני נפשות גומרים בו ביום, אומי לזכות, ביום של האחרה ולא לחובה. לפיכך אין דנים לא בערב שבת ולא בערב יום טוב. דיני ממונות, התמיות והטהרות מתחילים מן הגדות. דיני נפשות מתחילים מן הצד. הכל כשרים לדון דיני ממונות, ואין הכל כשרים לדון דיני נפשות, אלא כהנים, לוויים וישראלים המסיעים לכהונה. דיני ממונות, מי בעניין רישה וחקירה, ורמינו שטר שזמנו כתוב ביחד בניסן בשמיטה. ובאו העדים ואמרו, איך אתם העדים השטר זה? הלא ביום פלוני אמנו הייתם במקום פלוני. Nonetheless, שטר כשר וידיו כשרים. חשין את שם איחרו וכתפו. ואיסה גדיתך בעינן דרישה וחקירה. What is that supposed to mean? איך חשין את שם איחרו וכתפו? For the time, why did you look for this brighter? תיק של רמת ניתן, שטר רחוב המוקדמים פסולים ומאוחרים כשרים. You could have said the same thing. איסה גדיתך בעינן דרישה וחקירה. מאוחרים על מי כשרים. נו, לא קש, עדיף מן הקאמרים. תאפילו אחד בניסן בשביטה, דלא שכיח אין שגמוספה. דלק על המאמר שמה איחרו וכתבו, because he'd be worried about דלא מרן לשטרי. And nonetheless, אפילו אחים לשביעית, סופה משבטת מכשרינה. Okay, so now we can get back to the issue, please, thank you. מכל מקום, קש, אמר בחנינה, truth is דבר תורה, אחד דיני ממנות, אחד דיני נפשות, ושווה וחקירה. שבמשפט אחד יהיה לכם, and that's what our Mishnah is saying. ומתם אמרו in the Mishnah Shvius, or the Brita, דיני ממנות לא בין הדרישה וחקירה, כדי שאותי נותן לבני לווין, אלא מעתה טעו לא ישמו, סדן כל שכן שתינו דלת בפני לווין. רוב אמר, מצנית דרך, אבל it's talking about דיני ממנות, means כנסות. Whereas in Shvius, it's talking about הודעות והלוואות. Rav Papa Amar, they can both be talking about Hoda'ot Valva'ot. Kan bedin merumeh, ve kan bedin sheinu merakit edarish Rish Lakish. The Rish Lakish Rami, k'tiv b'tzedek tishpot amitecha, u'k'tiv tzedek tzedek tirdof. Okay, so kan bedin merumeh, kan bedin sheinu merumeh. Rav Ashi Omer, matnitin kirishanina. However, I would say that the contradiction in the psukim of tzedek, echad ledin v'echad lebishara, גדתניה צדק, צדק תרדוף, אחד לדין ואחד לפשרה. כיצד? שתי ספינות עוברות בנהר, פגעו זה בזה. אם עוברות שתיהן, שתיהן טובעות. בזה אחר זה שתיהן עוברות, או שני גמלים היו עולים במעלות בית חורון, ופגעו זה בזה. אז אם עלו שניהם, שניהם נופלים. בזה אחר זה, שניהם עולים. הכיצד? What's the way to do? תאונה ושינה תאונה, תלאחר שינה תאונה מפני התאונה. קרובה ושינה קרובה, תדחה קרובה מני שינה קרובה. היו שתיהם קרובות, שתיהם רחוקות, התאו פשרה ביניהם, ומעלות שכר, זו לזו. תנו רבן, צדק צדק תדוף עליך, אחר בדין יפה, אחר רבי אליעזר ללוד, אחר רבי יוחנן בן זכאי לברור חיה, תנו קורא חיים בבורני, שבוע הבן, שבוע הבן, אור הנר בברור חיה, משתשם, משתשם. תנו רבן, צדק צדק תדוף עליך, אחר חכמים לישיבה, אחר רבי אליעזר ללוד, אחר רבי יוחנן בן זכאי לברור חיל, אחר רבי יהושע לבקין, אחר רבי גמליאל ליבנה, אחר רבי עקיבא לבני ברק, אחר רבי מתיה לחרומי, אחר רבי חנני בן טרדיאן לסיכני, אחר רבי יוסי לציפורי, אחר רבי רבן בטר לניצב, אחר חנינה בן אחי רבי יהושע, Alagola, Acharebi, Lebet Shari, Acharachamim, Lelishkatagazit. Dine Momenit Votrin, whereas Dine Fashot, only Lizakut Echamrina, Omre Virachamrina Lo, Mi Yemeke de Camrito, Omre Ula, how can you do such a thing, Vachasmina Lo? No, what do you care, Velixamu? Milotari Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mesiina Taidi, Mi Makom Le Makom, Kedeshati Tarev da Tan Viachzeru Vehem. Why do you call it chovato? I mean, I don't mean necessarily chovato in the sense of literally being killed. I'm just saying, so then it would be the chovato shalzeh. We're going to start with that. Elo Amar Rabba Amrina Yesh Chaydim LaKrishan. That's what to say. Rav Kano Amar, all you need to say is B'divrechem Nizdaka Ploni. Let him overhear that. Abayev Ravad Amar Tavayo Amrina Lai Ilo Katat Olo Titcha Rav Asher Bekomi Shodei Elo Zchut Yavo V'ilo Amir Alav. Tanik about it, Abayev Rav, huh? Rebbe Omer, Im Lo Shechav Yishotach Va'at Lo Satit Mikan Shepotchim B'dini Nefashot Techila Lezechut. Here too, if you didn't do anything, you have nothing to worry about.